I'm grateful you're here. I always reflected a moment before I come up and try to give a little prayer. It reminds me of the story of the young girl. I always noticed preach that he closed his eyes for just a minute. So one day she asked him, said, "Daddy, why do you close your eyes before you get up and preach?" He says, "Well, I'm just saying a little prayer to God that I can deliver a good message in a way that engages the audience." And she stopped for a second. She said, "Why don't you think he answers your prayer?" That said, I do have to say, it seems that we live in odd times. Times when people lie without inhibition. They brazenly claim that a lie is the truth. They'll lie straight to your face, knowing that eventually that truth will come out. But by the time the truth comes out, it's no longer of consequence. It won't matter. "I did not have relations with that woman," someone once said famously. I've never heard before the term gaslighting until 2021, and I've never heard it more in my life than in 2021, where someone will literally tell you a lie to your face to get you to believe it so that you won't go to the truth. Let me ask you, how often do you hear things where you know that just doesn't seem right? What about all kinds of issues we hear about every day? National security. We don't need borders. We do need borders. We should let them all in. We shouldn't let anybody in. Who's right? Who stands for truth? What about medical perspectives? We hear about that, boy, every time you flip on the TV, every billboard you drive past, every Facebook ad, every Twitter message. You're going to die. You're not going to die. You're going to be just fine. You should get the shot. It's just a little thing. You shouldn't get the shot. It's got luciferase in it. Whose advice do you take? What about social policy? The government should mandate everything and dictate how you live your life. The government should get out of the way and let you live your life in freedom. Maybe people should be allowed to succeed or fail on their own. Which way is correct? Political viewpoints? Oh, man. That gets dicey, doesn't it? Left is right, right is left. Centrists get squashed in the middle like grapes. This is the party of races. They want to kill all people and take away the right to vote. We want everything to be fair and just. Which side has the truth? Financial perspectives. Now, the government should pay for everything. Government doesn't have a right to take any of your money. Maybe you'll own nothing and be happy. You know, it doesn't matter your personal or your political perspective. There's someone out there lying to you to get you to adopt their viewpoint. And it seems today that people will say anything, and I mean anything, to gain popularity or following or personal power. And sadly, it's not just reserved to political issues and social issues, financial issues. By most count, it wasn't me. I don't have a natural ring. By most counts, there are, I'll back up until they get that fixed, 4,300 distinct religions across this planet. 4,300 distinct religions across this planet. I'm going to turn it away. I'll give you 3 seconds, Mark. How do you take one Bible, and come up with 4,300 different versions of it that are all correct? Is that possible? Is it remotely possible that all 4,300 different religions are correct? I'm louder than that anyways. Why would someone who's religious, you want me to try it again, Mark? Why would someone in the religious world have a variation on what we know to be the truth? Why would something be different from what God has already shared with us? Is God the author of confusion? Does God put out there a message that says, "You know what, I'm just going to give you some general guidelines and just, you know, feel it out, see how it works for you"? Does God create all of these religions so that man has opportunities to explore what feels right for them? No, he doesn't. So if these things aren't from God, from where are they? It's Satan. This is men with evil intentions who are ignoring a clearly written word of God to put on their own gospel, put it out in front of men and women in an effort to gain followers and to financially benefit themselves. Out of their own desires, we have created religions that appeal to us without being concerned as to whether or not they're what God wants. These kinds of things have never happened before. Never before has there been so blatant a movement to deny the word of God for the desires of man. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe that we're in unprecedented times when it comes to the word of God? No. That's foolishness. To think that right now is the first time people have said, you know what? Hey, we can come up with our own thing. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. We'll go ahead and start with verse 1. I got a couple extra minutes. Simon Peter, the bondservant and apostle of Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, the great thing is that the truth is out there. You may have trouble determining whether you're a progressive, whether you're a conservative, whether you're a liberal, whether you're on the right, whether you're on the left. That's because the truth is very fluid when it comes to politics. Do you know where it's not fluid? Right here. Right here. We have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, it's not just God saying, hey, here's some general guidelines, kind of stay in between the lines. Okay, this is not a racetrack where you can try to hit the apex and it doesn't matter what those lines on the road mean. You have your lane, you stay in your lane. Everything that we have has been provided by God. It is complete for every good work. But now look to verse 16. Verse 16, he deals with an issue they probably were dealing with then. Verse 16 starts, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We just talked about this in a Bible class a couple weeks ago. Verse 18, "When we heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." That was the transfiguration. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is to any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." You see, the entire concept of Jesus, people are starting to spin this into some kind of fairy tale. And we hear this even today. That even then, they were like, he wasn't a real guy. He was a figure. He was just a nice guy who lived and taught a couple good morals. But there's nobody who could really do all of those signs and wonders and miracles, right? And he says, no. We saw him. We walked with him. When he came up out of the water, there was a dove that descended on him. It was the Holy Spirit. We heard God speak to us, okay? It wasn't confirming Jesus. He was confirming to us, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Don't worry about Moses. Don't worry about Elijah. This guy. We heard that. We were there when that happened. It wasn't wishful thinking that prophecies through inspiration of the holy people would not reveal this Savior. This was the fulfillment of all prophecy. It's not some kind of fanciful story that somebody made up and the Hobbit trilogy just came together. This is thousands of years of planning and execution on God's part so that at the fulfillment of time, God sent him that he might die for the wicked. That's us. Jesus was confirmed through signs and wonders. Thousands of people watched this. People flocked around to watch this man make bread better than any baker you've ever known. To make two fish turn into enough to feed 5,000 people. And they all witnessed this. It's not a fictional work. He was seen by hundreds of people, even after his death. He says, don't follow these people who believe that this is some kind of fable. Because they're what? They're liars. Don't listen to the lies. We saw him. We walked with him. We touched him. Confirmation that he was. Well, now there's the warning. Look with me in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. People came along in the past, and even in the first century, who claimed to have new revelations from God, who claim to have a new message, but they're false teachers, they're liars, they're destructive. They gain a following and they lead many others often to their eternal destruction because they blaspheme the truth. They know the truth. See, in order to lie, you have to know the truth and say something different. If you don't know something different, it's ignorance. But if you know the truth and you knowingly twist it, you're a liar. They gain a following and lead others to their destruction. Their deceptive words are used to exploit others, and their destruction will come. And we see that today too. Think about all of the different false doctrines that are out there today. Baptism is not necessary. There are people who look at Mark 16:16 and say, we don't use that verse. There are people who look at Acts 2:38 and say, the baptism is not as important. What about infant baptism? How do you confess your sins when you can't even talk? And yet there are people who spend money and time doing this for children, thinking that this saves their immortal soul. There's prayers for the deceased. There is someone who is no longer has the capacity to confess sins, repent for them, or be baptized for them, but you can pray them into heaven. It just costs a little bit, by the way. Just a little bit. Total hereditary depravity. No matter what you do, you are destined to hell. Unless you're one of the good people that God likes. And you find out later through ULINP. What about the sinner's prayer? How many times have you seen a pamphlet? How many times have you waited for somebody to bring the conclusion around to a matter? And they say, if you wish to be saved, all you need to do is say this prayer. You know what? I've been from Genesis to Revelation in this book. I have yet to find the sinner's prayer in here. Have you found it? Has anybody found the sinner's prayer in this book that God authorized that pertains to all things? You know why? Because it's a lie. Because you don't pray your way into heaven. There are acts that bring you into a relationship with God. Prosperity gospel? Oh my goodness. If you have money, God loves you. If you don't have money, well, he might. Multi-theism. There are churches, and I use churches very loosely, there are buildings with people who assemble who think that whether you're Islamic or Buddhist, whether you're Shinto, whether you're Taoist, Whether you're Christian, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Presbyterian, Pentecostal, it doesn't matter. We can all worship our own gods together and we're okay. Do you think God and Buddha get along? I don't think they do. Because Buddha doesn't teach what God says. There's the fellowship gospel. It's okay. Okay, you don't need to worry about reading the Bible. We're going to teach you everything you need to know. That's how the Catholic Church got started teaching everything in Latin. Because we know it and we can read it and we'll tell you what it says. Man, that's not a good way to conduct yourself. All of these appeal to our personal desires. What we want. Not God's will for our lives. And we're attracted to them because it's what we want. And we're not concerned with what God wants. Still in chapter 2, look at verse 18. 18 through 22. Still talking about these false teachers, these liars. Verse 18. When they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to this true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Man, they sound good, don't they? Have you ever listened to one of those big evangelists? Have you ever listened to a North Point sermon? Or Joel Osteen? Or Ravi Zachariah? Man, it sounds great. They got a lot of positive energy, a lot of positive message. Have you ever noticed how little they use this book? They may have one verse that is the construct for their entire sermon. Never again quote the Bible. Why? What's great, empty, swelling words that they're out there giving you a feel-good message, but it's not going to make you better. It's just going to make you happy. And that's the problem, is that they've actually escaped the lust of the flesh by giving their lives to Christ and now being sucked back into the lust of the flesh by only feeding themselves what they want. 90% of people have a major cardiac event, revert back to the old diet that got them the problems in the first place within 1 month. Why? Because fried chicken tastes good. Is that right for them? Many would say no. But they're not worried about what's right. They're worried about what's good. It feels good. It tastes good. I like it. It's the same thing with the message. They're not worried about whether that is actually going to bring me in a closer relationship with God or whether I really just like that rock band up there. It feels good. I like it. That's how I prefer to worship God. The greatest commitment a Christian makes is to stop thinking about what I want and to start thinking about what does God want. At one point, these people were exposed to knowledge. At one point, they were exposed to the gospel. It appealed to them. They grasped it, and then they allowed it to escape because they saw something else that they wanted more. And I've often said, do not give up what you want most for what you want now. Don't betray yourself and your path to righteousness for a temporary pleasure, a temporary sin that satiates a temporary need. The unfortunate part is, it says that they would have been better off not knowing at all. They would have been better off if they had never heard the gospel than to hear that gospel, to grasp it, and then to walk away from it. I'll tell you, being compared to a vomiting dog or a dirty pig, that's not a compliment. I'm not sure if you know that. I haven't spent a lot of time on a farm, but I'm pretty sure dirty pigs are not something to be envied. It's not good. And so we know now He confirmed already at the beginning. The truth is out there. The truth has been confirmed. Jesus was real. He did these things. He's also told us now that false teachers, false prophets are out there and they're trying to allure people away. Well, turn back just a little bit in chapter 2 to verse 4. Now we're going to find out what happens to those false teachers. Chapter 2 and verse 4, starting in verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust for under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially to those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. You know, he gives some great examples here. The first one is that angels who sinned, this is referring to Satan. Satan sinned. In the presence of God, he still sinned. And they were cast into hell to be reserved for the day of judgment. Then he talks about Noah. How many people survived out of the entire world's population? It was just eight people. But there was no mercy there except for Noah and his family, because every man's thoughts and intentions were evil continuously. And then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know in the areas where Sodom and Gomorrah are believed to have existed, they still find brimstone on the ground? It's not a naturally occurring thing, by the way. Brimstone isn't just one of those things that comes from a natural spring or sprinkles out of the sky or something. There's brimstone still on the ground in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not a naturally occurring thing in that region. And he says, look, if God's going to do that to them, he's going to do the same thing to these people who are unrighteous. That for those people who are godly, he delivers them from their temptations. But to those who are, verse 9, unjust, he reserves punishment for the day of judgment. They're going to get there, because they have taken the word of God and they have skewed it. They have twisted it to attract others to their doom. Keep going. Verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of righteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the son of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. How do you get blacker than dark? He says, they're like animals. You see, an animal doesn't think about what's in somebody else's best interest. Now, your dog loves you, but not all dogs do. They're animals. They don't think, they don't reason. They just react. And they usually react out of a point of self-preservation. Your dog will protect you, but a lot of dogs, if they hear a gunshot, will run away, unless trained otherwise. It's because it's in their own interest to protect themselves. It's the same thing here. They're not thinking about you. They're not thinking about your salvation. They're thinking about themselves. This is the gospel that I preach that brings people into the building. This is the gospel that I preach that fills the coffer. This is the gospel that I preach that helps me publish books that makes me a millionaire that allows me to fly in a Gulfstream G35 jet around the world. They have some of the things he says. They carouse in the daytime. They're not even ashamed of it. They're just out there blatantly. Eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls, hearts trained in covetous practices. Forsake the right and gone astray. Love the wages of unrighteousness. That's exactly how it sounds, right? They love the payoff that comes from being unrighteous. What is a well without water? It's a hole. It is pointless unless you've got to dispose of something. It's worthless. It's to anyone who comes across it because it serves no purpose whatsoever other than to distract or to entrap. See, God's going to judge their actions. We know that he has something reserved for these false teachers. In chapter 3, starting in verse 3, he says this. Know this. Scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're saying, you keep saying God's going to come around. God's going to come back. He's going to judge us. He's going to take us out. Where is he? They're scoffers. They'll get theirs. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. That the Lord has one day as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God doesn't have a short memory. And this is proven, what, you want to pick, what, Acts chapter 2? When Peter starts, how about Acts chapter 6? When Stephen starts talking to these Jews, and he recounts a lot of history in a very short amount of time through the Holy Spirit. God doesn't forget anything, and his memory is not short. But you see, man has a short memory. Our lives are just like that. It's a vapor. And we got a real short memory. We're like, I've been here for 47 years. I haven't seen Jesus come back yet. He must not be coming. And so we live lives of abandon, and we live lives of sin. See, the problem is, we keep forgetting what God wants. And it says it right there in verse 9. God is Lord towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his plan. That's his goal. That's his objective. That all should come to repentance. That none should perish. That's not the way it's going to end up. But that's not changing what he wants. See, if you don't do what God says, there's a day of judgment in your future. I promise. You may not see it in your lifetime, your kid's lifetime, your grandkid's lifetime. It may not come for a thousand years. Don't know, don't care. It's coming. And you will have to stand before the Lord of all creation and justify every deed of the flesh. Everything you did. Everything you said. Everything I did. Everything I said. Everything they do. Everything they say. We all will stand before the judgment throne. All right. I apologize. I know this is depressing. I know we've been sitting here and we've been talking about liars. We've been talking about evil people and people who take the word of God and they twist it to suit themselves. There are people in the world whose active goal is to pervert the will of God, to keep people in ignorance, to substitute their will for the Lord's and eventually lead people to their destruction. That's a bummer. It really is. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's pretty discouraging. Because you know what? They got a lot of people sitting. And a lot of people who unfortunately are within reach of the truth and yet don't grasp it. But I do have some good news. So you ever gotten some insider information? Anybody ever told you, you want to be ready for this? Or something's coming. I want you to be prepared. I don't want you to be surprised by this. I tell my guys at work all the time, I don't like surprises. I don't mind you calling me with bad news, but I don't like surprises, because when a customer calls me and they start chewing me up and down, I'm not happy. Now we're going to have two uncomfortable conversations. One is the one the customer has with me. The next is the one that I have with my rep. I got some good news for you. I'm going to let you know some insider information. And in fact, it's not even mine. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I didn't make this up. It's right here in this book that we've been reading. In chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things." What things? That's in verses 10 through 13. Verse 10 says, "The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." That's what he's talking about when he says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things." Looking forward to that second coming that many people mock and say, "Oh, he isn't here yet. He obviously is never coming." That's like my family. If you start at 9 o'clock, don't think that we were not here at 9 o'clock. We're not coming. 9:04, we'll be popping through that door most of the time. Don't think just because he didn't come when you expected him, he ain't coming. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot or blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in the epistles of these things, in which there are some things that are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He says, look, it's going to happen. And you need to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. You take care of you. The liars will always be there. People will always be out there trying to deceive others. They will always be trying to twist that to their own destruction and the destruction of others. You, since you know this, beware. Don't fall for these traps. Don't fall for these fables. Don't fall for this feel-good message that doesn't come from here, but comes from here. Trust one mind, and that's the mind of God. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Satan is not going to leave you alone because you're too hard to get. You will be the jewel in his crown if he can pull you away from God. There are millions, billions in the world right now. He doesn't have to work for it all. That's not even a challenge. He's not even trying. My dad used to play racquetball with me. At 18 years old, he spotted me 14 points to a game of 15. I lost. It wasn't even a challenge for him. Satan's not even trying on the world. But you're the one he wants. And he's not going to leave you alone. And he's not going to back off. And he's not going to relent. He's going to continually come after you. You have to resist the pull of the world. You have to resist the course of easy Christianity, where it's just easier if we kind of stay at home and do our own thing. It's just easier if we go into this big crowd where nobody knows us, and yeah, they don't teach the whole gospel, and yeah, they don't do the Lord's Supper, but I feel good when we come out. You have to resist the pull of the worldly path of easy Christianity. We have to be aware that just as Eve was tempted by swelling words, and it started all the way back there in Genesis, didn't it? We too can be pulled away if we're not watching for worldliness and false teaching. If we are not examining the things that are said, even right now today, at this pulpit, if we're not examining those to make sure that they are true, and if they are, applying them to our lives. Now, you'll notice I used a lot of scriptures here. I'm going to give you two good reasons for that. Number one, I can't say it any better than he did. And number two, if I say what God said, I know I'm in the right. And this is what God says. There is only one truth. May liars repent, or as Ashley says, may they explode. You can ask her about that one later. How will you know a liar? Well, they exploded. Spontaneous combustion. It's kind of easy. Either way, God is long-suffering. As verse 15 says, consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. It's a chance for people to repent. It's a chance for people to find him, to come out of that blackness of darkness forever that the world offers, and to find light and joy and happiness and peace. And I don't think I could close it out any better than him. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have to always be aware. We have to always be alert. I'm not saying you need to be ready for a fight, but you need to know that there is an allure to the world that is designed to pull us from God. It is intentional. It is purposeful. And the whole point is that if Satan can win us over, that's one less. And he gains influence, and we lose our souls. I am determined not to let him win. And I know at the very end, he is not victorious. To all those who follow his ways, it is the blackness of darkness forever. And just so we're clear, God is light. And you will be as far from God as you can possibly get. You will be without God, without hope, without joy, and without love for eternity. I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. And that means before we walk out of here tonight, today, you have an opportunity to examine your soul's condition in relation to God. Where you stand before him right now. Are you justified? Are you possibly lacking? Is there something that you need to do today before you walk out those doors and go on your way to make sure that you walk out with the confidence that should your life be taken today, you will rejoice in heaven with the angel singing songs of praise around his throne for all eternity. If there is anything in your life that you're unsure about before you walk out today, let us help you make that right. If you need to be buried in the waters of baptism, we're ready. We're ready. If there's something public in your life you need to confess, to get that out of your way, to get your repentance underway so that you can be right back on the path you should be, we're ready. And if it's something private, if it's between you and God alone, pray now while we sing the invitation song. Pray for that repentance that you received long ago, that you can be rededicated to God and walk out of here a whole being. Whatever your need is, I encourage you while we stand and sing.